So today, fourth Advent Sunday, and because of that, because this is our fourth one, we've been looking at Advent, the advent of not just Christ himself coming as a baby, but this appearance, this arrival then of this plot change, this new family tree, this kind of surprise that he revealed to us. And then in preparation for next week being Christmas, today we're going to do things a little bit different to hopefully help ourselves out a little bit, because Christmas sometimes can be very stressful. Christmas season can be stressful, can be busy. And although some of that busyness is good stuff, right? We're seeing family, seeing friends. There's a lot of really good aspects of the busyness. But sometimes it brings a lot of stress. It brings some anxiety. It brings a lot of just stuff that really just shouldn't be there during a time in the season when we're supposed to celebrate the greatest gift that God has ever given us in his son. But we know that it can get in the way, all that busyness and all those things. So today, we want to do things a little bit different than a usual Sunday. We're going to take some time. We want to slow down. We want to just enjoy the presence of God. Just take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Just, okay, it's the 17th. That kind of freaks us out a little bit because the 24th and 25th is next week. But we're going to say, you know what? God has us here right now, right? You're here right now. I know you're probably thinking of some errands you got to run later. You got to do this. You got to prepare. You got to whatever. But you're here right now. So be here right now, all right? Take a deep breath. Let's just be here together. Try not to let your mind wander into all the things you got to do after service and during the week, whatever. Just let's just be here together, right? We want to be here, and we want to take this deep breath and consider God's goodness towards us and just relax a little bit in the presence of God and the presence of your church family, in the presence of God's word being read aloud, in the presence of your church family singing songs. Let's just enjoy this for right now. Now, through this last few weeks in Advent, as we looked a lot at in the book of Romans, we looked at our adoption, Paul building a case for us being grafted into the true Israel, which is Jesus Christ. We've looked at our role in being part of the kingdom expanding. So we looked a lot at Romans 1 through 3. We looked a lot at Romans 5 and 6. We looked a lot at Romans chapter 8 through 11. We saw a lot of Romans 1 through 11. And all of those sections in Romans, you could almost kind of look at those as sort of like a Paul making a big case of the because. I love that Trevor had those two verses today, right? Because that first section of scripture was like these because verses. And then he went into Ephesians, and it was the therefore. Therefore, this is how you should live, right? And Romans 1 through 11, chapter 1 through 11, is a lot of becauses. Because all have fallen short, but yet God has saved sinners. He's saved enemies. Because you've been grafted into Israel. Because there's no condemnation in Christ. Because he works all things for good. There's just a ton of becauses in Romans chapter 1 through chapter 11. The greatness of salvation, the greatness of our adoption. And now today we're going to look a little bit in Romans 12. We're going to see Paul starting to get to the end of his letter. He's going to start landing the plane. It's a big therefore section. It's a therefore section. He's basically saying, if this adoption is true, if there's truly no condemnation, if we've truly been grafted in, if he's truly actually saved his enemies, if he's truly done all these things, from that he has written about in 1 through 11. If that's all true, then therefore, how should we live? How should we go about our life? If the Holy Spirit has truly been poured out into us, if the Spirit of adoption has guaranteed our salvation, if he truly intends to build a church to bring the good news of the kingdom, to see the kingdom expand through the church, then how then therefore should we live? What proves that we actually believe all this stuff? That is one thing to say, hey, that was a great sermon. Oh, I love that truth. That's great, but so what are we going to do about it then? Therefore, how should we live? That's what we're going to look at today. I want to pray, and we're going to look at Romans 12 a bit and a bunch of other scriptures, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome, not because the sermon's going to be awesome, but because the scriptures are awesome. The truths are awesome. And so I'm hoping that today we can just relax and just receive God's word, receive truth, be present here today with your church family, and enjoy God's word today. as we feast on God's word today. Let me pray. God, I'm thankful for these last few weeks of just the way that the truths from week one of being adopted, week two, looking at being grafted into Israel, week three, looking at how you poured out your spirit on us so that we can be the church and the people in this already not yet kingdom, to see the kingdom break through in this time, how all these truths have just invigorated me, reminded me of all the becauses, all the incredible things that sometimes I forget throughout the week. I don't think often about being grafted in with Israel and what that means. I don't think often enough about my adoption and what that means. And so I'm grateful, Lord, just for the great reminders these last few weeks that as you sent your son, the advent of the Christ, the Messiah, into the world, the arrival, the appearance of the King, he has brought also the advent of his kingdom. The advent of this plot twist, the appearance, the clear view of this family tree that we've been grafted into. What great truths and promises. And so then, therefore, God, show us today, convict us today on how then we should therefore live. What does it mean for us to believe these truths? How should that affect our lives? Transform us today, especially as we go into this season where we can get really distracted. We can get anxious. We're going also into different events and get-togethers where we're seeing folks that we love, that we know, that we might not see eye to eye with. They don't know you, and so we need to go in overflowing with your Spirit, overflowing with the fruit of the Spirit, overflowing with clarity and boldness, but also gentleness and meekness and humility, and we need your help. So show us today the therefores. How then should we walk in light of all these beautiful truths that you've shown us these last few weeks? So Holy Spirit, help us, lead us into these truths as we open your word today, as we hear your word preached today, that they would transform us and change us and empower us and fill us. We ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus, our Messiah, our Savior, our Lord. Amen. So I'd like you to open up to Romans 12 because we're going to be going through a bit of a section there. But we're actually going to start in the closing verses of 11. Now remember, as we're going to read this tail end of 11, remember this is after Paul's been writing feverishly, chapter 1 through 11. He's writing about all this stuff, this adoption, this grafting in, salvation, no condemnation. He's going to work all things for good for those who love him. He's writing all this crazy stuff. And then he gets it to the end of 11, and it's like he starts freaking out, right? He's just writing so fast. He's like, I can't believe the things, these truths that I'm writing. He's getting ready to explode in worship because he's responding to the very things he's writing. And here's what he says in Romans 11, verse 33. He says, oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. This stuff is crazy that I'm writing about. How unsearchable are his judgments? How inscrutable are his ways? I can't even get to the bottom of the amazing truths of God. This God is incredible. And he says, who has known the mind of the Lord? Who's been his counselor? No one gives God counsel. This God is incredible. Who has given a gift to God that he might be repaid? Like, we can't offer God anything. Paul is just being completely mind blown by the goodness and the depth of God. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Paul ends this section 1 through 11 with this sort of parenthetical break of praise and worship and amazement. He's like, this is absolutely incredible. I love that verse. From him, through him, to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. So Paul, I just picture him pushing himself back from his desk and going, this is crazy. I can't believe all the stuff I wrote is true. This is crazy. I can't wait for this to get to the Romans so they can read this stuff. So he's just jumping out of his skin. Spontaneous worship as he's been writing these things down to these Roman Christians. He wants them so badly to understand the depths of what he's written to them. And so he actually writes down this spontaneous worship. If he was me, he'd be saying, I'm preaching to myself right now, right? That's what he's saying. Like, I'm preaching to myself. This is crazy stuff right here. I had many of you share in the last few weeks some of the impact that some of these last few sermons have had, looking at our adoption, looking at being grafted into Israel. And if that's the case, and I believe it's the case, I don't think you guys are lying. If that's the case, then Paul has an admonition for you. Paul has some therefores for you. So if in these last few weeks you're like, man, that's been, I never really thought about that. That was really awesome just to hear about adoption, being grafted in. If that's you, Paul has an expectation for you today. Here's what he says, Romans 12. You can open up with me here. Romans 12, he says, so I appeal to you. All right, this is coming right out of the spontaneous praise time. This is, to him be all the glory forever and ever, amen. So now I appeal to you, church. I'm appealing to you. Therefore, because of all the things I just wrote in chapter 1 through 11, all that amazing stuff, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your body as a living sacrifice. Picture yourself offering up your whole life to the Lord. If you believe the stuff in 1 through 11, if you believe all the stuff from the last 3 weeks, therefore then, offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's your spiritual worship. Some translations say that's your reasonable sacrifice. That's a reasonable request, isn't it? If everything in chapter 1 through 11 is true, it's reasonable for us to offer up our body as a living sacrifice. That's a pretty solid trade right there. We get all the riches in the heavenly realm. We get adoption as sons and daughters. We get no condemnation from God Almighty. And we'd have to trade this body here and offer up as a living sacrifice. That's a reasonable sacrifice. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what's good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you to not think of himself more highly than he ought to think. We all better be humble. We better be humble. Instead, we should think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, so he's going back to all these truths, in one body, we have many members, right? One body, I've got 10 fingers, 10 toes, got 2 ears, like one body, but many different members of this body. One body here, but many different members with different functions, different gifts, different talents, different personality, different backgrounds. And then that's just this church. Then there's the church across the street, down the street, across the country, across the globe, in the past. The church is in the future. We've got different members of the body, but yet one body. One body. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. Do not compare yourself to other people. Not your personality, not your talents, not where you're at spiritually. Do not do that. Do not do that. We don't have all the same functions. So we, though we're many, we are one body in Christ. And individually, we're members one of another. We're connected to each other too. We're not just connected to Christ. I'm connected to you, whether you like that or not. We're connected. Thank you, Karen. We are connected for eternity because we're one in Christ. We are branches that were broken off because of sin, but grafted into the true Israel, which is Jesus, the root of David. So we're one together. And we all have gifts that differ. We differ. And here's the thing, that's not just for individuals, that's even for churches. Our church is going to be different than the church across the street. Right? We have different strengths and different weaknesses. The other churches in town and across North County, they have different strengths and weaknesses than us. All the churches don't have to be the same because all the church members don't have to be the same. Not all pastors are the same. Not all community group leaders are the same. Not all worship leaders are the same. Right? We're all different. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. So we have different gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So let us use them. So if it's prophecy, use it in proportion to our faith. If it's service, in our serving. The one who teaches, use God's grace in his teaching. The one who exhorts, use God's grace in his exhortation. The one who contributes, use God's grace to be generous. To one who leads, let him lead with zeal. To the one who does acts of mercy, let them do that with cheerfulness. Let your love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hate what is evil. But hold strongly, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. I love this one. Outdo one another in showing honor. How many of you guys specifically are like competitive kind of guys? Let's see a show of hand. You, because I know you want to show your hand, right? Because you're competitive. You ought to be, like, this is a challenge right here for you guys who are ultra competitive. Outdo your friends, outdo your spouses, outdo your kids in showing honor. Like, put it on yourself, like, I'm gonna be the best at showing honor, right? Do that. You do it with everything else sinfully. Do it for the Lord's glory, right? Outdo one another in showing honor. And that should be for all of us, but I'm just calling you competitive dudes out. Outdo one another in showing honor. Don't be slothful. Don't be lazy with your zeal. Don't be apathetic. Don't be status quo. Don't just phone it in. Don't be slothful in your zeal, but instead be fervent in spirit. Now, if you don't have that fervency, ask for it. Ask for it. And not just once, not just twice, not just thrice. Continue to ask for fervency in spirit. Don't give up on that. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation and hardships and suffering. Be constant in your prayer. Contribute. Be generous to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. Invite people into your home. Invite people into your calendar. Invite them into your hearts. Bless those that persecute you. Bless them and don't curse them. Don't curse your enemies. Bless them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, but weep with those who are weeping. Don't look down upon people who are weeping. Don't be jealous of people who are rejoicing, but rejoice with them and weep with them. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty, don't be prideful, don't be arrogant, but instead associate yourself with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but instead give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. And if possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with everyone. Beloved, never, ever, ever avenge yourselves. Revenge isn't for you to enact. Leave that to the Lord. Leave it to the Lord. Leave it to the wrath of God, is what Paul says. For it's written, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. And so to the contrary, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is a lot of specific commands, church. We could spend a whole sermon on each one, but what we're going to do is just look at this overall big picture of if we believe all the stuff that we've been walking through the last 3 weeks, if we believe all the amazing truths in Romans 1 through 11, then Paul's like, therefore, then this is how you should live. This proves that you believe what I've written to you in the first 11 chapters. And if that's not us, then we say, Lord, help us. Help us. Because I'm not 80% of those things. I'm really weak at most of those things. Whatever it is, you just say, God, I do believe that. I do. But the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. So I believe all that stuff, but I need your help because I realize I'm not doing the therefore is that good. So lots of specific commands, but we're going to look at the overarching kind of big theme of this therefore. And today we're going to apply some of it too. But before we do that, I want to read through a few other truths to help us see that this is a massive theme for the church. It's not just in Romans, not just for the Roman church. This is a massive theme throughout the entire New Testament, these big, huge therefores that Paul writes to every church that he writes to, and not just Paul, but Peter as well, James as well. I'm going to ask you to do something, and sometime, I've done this a couple times before, and some of you were so mad at me for doing this, but we're going to do it anyway. I don't want you writing down any notes for the next few minutes, okay? You're like, but I don't know what to do when you're talking. You're going to listen. You're going to listen. You're just going to listen to God's word, because I'm going to read through a bunch of scriptures in a row, kind of a rapid-fire succession of scriptures. I also, do not take this out of context, I don't want you to open your Bible. Here's the reason why. It's a lot of short sections. I don't want you flipping. I just want you to sit and just listen. Remember, you know, the church didn't have Bibles until the last couple hundred years, right? So they were really good listeners for the first 1,700 years of their existence. So it's okay for a few minutes just to listen to scripture. All the scripture references are in your notes. You can go home. You can read them on your own. But I want you to sit there and just receive God's word. Worship with your ears today. Just receive. Relax yourself. Take a deep breath. If you have to sit on your hands, sit on your hands. But I want you to listen as an act of worship. Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, Paul says, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and one Father of all, who is over all things and through all, and he is in all. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, because we are all members one of another. A little bit later, in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk then, nothing bad should come out of your mouths. No corrupting talk, no dirty talk, no gossipy talk. But only the kind of talk that is good for building up others as it fits the occasion, that it might give grace to those who hear. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, let all the wrath and the anger, the clamor, the slander, let it be put away from you, along with all the malice. Instead, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Notice he's thrown in the becauses there, right? These are all therefores, but he throws in the becauses just to remind us, because Christ did this for you, this is why we do this for others, to be a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just as you already are doing. Keep doing it, church. Keep doing it. James says in chapter 5, verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you might be healed from sin, temptation, physical ailments. Pray for one another. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Let it live inside you. Let it reside inside of you. Let it have free reign inside of you. Let it dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. You're to teach your friends. You're to admonish your friends in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in everything you do, in word and in deed, with your mouth, with your hands, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then now Peter says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, because love covers a multitude of sin. Show hospitality to one another, here's the key, without grumbling. as each person's received a gift, okay, so every member of the body has received a gift from the Lord, use it to serve one another. Be a good steward of God's varied grace. God gives various graces, gives different grace to me than to you in different ways. And here's some examples, two examples he gives. Whoever speaks, so some people have this kind of gift of speaking, right? Whether it's teaching or leading Bible studies or encouragement or counseling, whatever it is. If you have this gift and grace of speaking, use it as one who speaks the oracles of God. Some of you have this gift of service. You just love serving people. You love being a part of solutions. You love to encourage and help people. You like to help with practical things. Whoever serves, do that as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything, no matter what it is, no matter how you serve, no matter how you walk out this grace of God in your life, that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And now John says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. A few verses later, he says, beloved, if God so loved us, there's the because again. If this is true, if God so loved us, then we ought to love one another. No one's ever actually seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. You will know and encounter the presence of the invisible God if you show love to one another. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Because guess what? When you give, you get the presence of God filling you, and you get to encounter the presence and love of God in a way that you don't get when you are receiving. Back to Paul, Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, don't get drunk with wine. That's debauchery. That's sin. But instead of filling ourselves with things that cause us to have drunkenness in the world, we want to instead be filled with the Spirit. We want to address each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We want to sing and make melody to the Lord with our hearts, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. The author of Hebrews in chapter 3 says, exhort each other, exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, so that none of you would be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We need each other to point each other towards gospel truth, because on our own, we go wayward. We need other eyes on our lives, on our hearts. Going into Romans chapter 15, so we're getting further past the therefores that we started in chapter 12. As Paul's closing his letter, Romans 15, may the God of endurance and encouragement... I love that, the God of endurance, the God of encouragement. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus. And here's why: so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, it's a therefore of his therefores. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Tossing in another because there. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. A couple more from Paul here. Galatians chapter 5. You were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. You were called to freedom. Christ has set you free. He set you free. But don't use that freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But instead, so don't use your freedom, don't use all the graces and gifts that God has given you just for your own flesh. Instead, through love, serve one another. Serve one another. God has set you free, church. Now you get to serve people. You get to serve others. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, one statement: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, because you'll be consumed by one another. We don't want that. We don't want to bite and devour each other. We want to love each other. And then lastly, Galatians chapter 6. Brothers, if anyone's caught in any transgression, any sin, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. Bear each other's burdens. You see a brother or sister in sin, help him or her bear these burdens, and you'll fulfill the law of Christ, which is to love one another as you love yourself. And church, I hope that hearing just that onslaught of truths and therefores, I hope something happened inside you. Something just, whatever word you want to use, inspired or provoked, convicted, encouraged, lifted your faith. I hope that just hearing all those things, just that reality that we are called to each other, we're called to pour ourselves out for each other, and not just for those in this room, and not just for those in the Church of Jesus Christ, but for the world around us. This is what we've been put on this planet for. You've been saved to be sent. You've been saved to serve. So we're going to do a couple things today. We're going to spend a little bit more time responding to the Lord in worship, ministering one to another, praying for each other, doing some of these therefores. We're gonna say, okay, those are great, but I need to step out in some obedience. I need to do some of these therefores. Push yourself. Say, God, I'm just gonna step out in a little bit of faith. I'm gonna step out in faith. I'm gonna ask someone for prayer. I need prayer today. Right? As Tyler was mentioning earlier, sometimes we get weary. If you're in a place where you're weary today, you need to get prayer from someone. If you're in a place where you're encouraged, you're lifted up, you're going, yeah, you know, I want to do these one another's, someone needs you to pray for them today. Someone needs your prayer, that James 5:16 prayer. Someone needs your prayer today. You are a member connected to someone in this room that is hurting or is in need or just needs some prayer for something in their life. So we're going to do this. We're going to do some of these therefores. Kind of like last week during communion, we kind of had a little bit extra time to do that, but today we're going to have a little bit more. So it's going to be more like a prayer and worship night for some of you guys who've been out to those. We're going to start just by playing a couple songs, reflecting on the Lord, and then we're going to just pray and ask the Lord just to lead us one to another that we might pray. So you might pray, you might find someone from your community group. Maybe it's just someone who sits in the section with you. You're going to tap on their shoulder, say, hey, could you pray for me? You know, or you might have the boldness, maybe right now, even maybe you've looked around or when you were coming in, you saw someone, someone's been on your heart all week. You've been thinking about someone, texting someone, whatever. You might just go up to them during this time and just tap on their shoulder and say, can I pray for you? I was thinking about you earlier this week, the thing you're going through, you know, and I just love to pray for you. Very easy. A little scary maybe for some of us, right? But this is the kind of working those spiritual muscles. We want to get better at doing all these one another's. If we believe everything in Romans 1 through 11 and everything from the last 3 weeks and everything from all the years you've been a Christian, these are the things and therefore we need to do. And if you're not used to doing them, that's totally okay. But we want to help each other to do these things better. Take one step at a time. One step at a time. So we're also going to have this microphone on in case anyone, while the music is kind of mellowing out, whatever, if you have a scripture, if you have a truth, you want to just encourage the church family, this is going to be the time to do it. Kind of like a say-so, but we want you to be able to do that. If you don't, if that thing totally freaks you out and scares you, you can just stand in your spot and read a scripture. You just got to do it really loud for everyone to hear you, to exhort one another. But we want to hear from each other and all these things. So I'm going to have the band come back up to join me here. We're going to base these next couple songs. We're going to do a couple songs, and then after that, we're going to take communion. We're going to end our service the way we always do, but we're just, instead of the last like 10 minutes or so of a sermon, it's just going to be songs. We're going to base these next couple songs this whole morning around the Lord's Prayer model. which, you know, we delineate with the P-R-A-Y. We've already had the gospel preached to us. We already praised the Lord as we sang the opening song today. So we're going to first go into these first couple songs are going to be songs about repentance. If you need to confess sin, you can confess it just to the Lord, or you can go grab someone and say, hey, you know what? I need prayer for the sin I'm struggling with. After that, we're going to sing a song or two about asking. We're going to ask the Lord to fill us, to equip us, to overflow us in the Spirit. Whatever it is that you are being challenged in life with, you're going, I need the strength of the Lord. I want to serve in a different capacity. I want to have more boldness. I need prayer because of what's coming up this next week with family get-togethers. And I'm going to encourage you guys to ask each other to pray for those things that you are asking the Lord for. Tim Keller, he says this. He's actually quoting C.S. Lewis. This is just amazing. I've loved this insight. C.S. Lewis, just some of the insights he had. He says, it takes a community of people to get to know an individual person. Right? Now think about this. C.S. Lewis was reflecting on his own friendships, and he observed that some aspects of a friend's personality were brought out only through interaction with a second friend. So you know how like friend dynamics change? You know, you hang out with one friend and it's really great, but then you add a third friend and something about this friend draws out a different aspect of this friend or of you. And then when that friend leaves, then it's like maybe this gets a little mellower or a little crazier or whatever. But all these different friend dynamics, they change a group dynamic, don't they? You've noticed that. And C.S. Lewis, he's saying, that's the same truth for the church. Right, there's certain things about you as individuals that I might not be able to get to know you in a certain way, but then you bring another person into that kind of triangle, and all of a sudden, I'm getting to know you because you're more comfortable with that person's presence. I'm going, wow, I didn't know they had that kind of personality. They're always really quiet with me. Does that make sense? The point that C.S. Lewis is making here is that when we pray for each other, when we interact with each other, not only do we get to know each other differently, but we get to know Jesus more. Because it's one thing for you to interact with Jesus, but you have your own mind, you have your own way that you kind of read scriptures, the way you sort of interpret life. But when you start hearing the prayers of other people, when other people encourage you in certain scriptures that you might not think about as much, all of a sudden your view of Christ grows and expands because of the body of Christ. It is important, it's imperative, it's a command that we pray with one another, exhort one another, encourage one another. So Lewis, he closes, he says, by myself, I'm not large enough to call the whole friend, the whole person into activity. I want other lights other than my own to show the facets of my friends. If it takes a community to know an ordinary human being, how much more necessary would it be to get to know Jesus alongside others? By praying with your friends, you'll be able to hear and see facts about Jesus that you have not yet perceived. And that's just one of the reasons why we pray with each other.